Good evening, members and officers, and welcome to this meeting of the Planning and Licensing Committee. Right, if I could have first agenda item on the item is Chairman's Notices. And I do have to read these out. Sound recording of meeting, of course, just to remind members that the Council will be recording any part of this meeting held in open session for subsequent publication on the Council's website. And I'm making that announcement now, and I don't believe we've got any members of the public wishing to speak, so I don't need to have deemed or be deeming they've given permission. Fire, as we all know, in the event of fire, we escape through the little green men and we meet outside the main entrance of the council offices and wait for further instruction. Please just remind members, I know you're all familiar with this now, regarding the black and yellow levels in the chamber, and also closed circuit television is obviously monitoring and recording this meeting. Agenda item number two, I have apologies for absence, and I believe actually we're a full house. I don't think we have any, do we, Ms. Bird? Thank you very much indeed. Agenda item number three is minutes of the last meeting, found on pages 5 to 140, but of course a large majority of that is the appendices that are attached. So really, the pages for the minutes is page 5 to 12. For everyone, so I'll go through those, and these are for accuracy only, please, members. So page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12. Do we, all those present there at that meeting, do you agree those minutes as a true record? Thank you very much indeed. Agenda item number four, members, disclosure of interest, and I do have to read this out. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda, having regard to paragraph 6 to 8, inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. And you're reminded, members, that you're also required to disclose any such interest as soon as they become aware to you or arise during the meeting. Anyone wish to disclose? Councillor Durham, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Non-pecuniary interest as a member of Ethics County Council, any matter pertaining to that authority. Thank you.
Is there anyone else before I declare mine? In that case, I will declare non-pecuniary interest as a member of Essex County Council, and I think actually the large majority, well, in fact, all of these probably in some way relate or have Essex have been involved in or, you know, partnership or otherwise, so I will disclose across the whole agenda item. Thank you very much indeed. Agenda item number five is public participation to receive the views of members of the public on items of business. But as I said earlier, we have absolutely none. So we will now proceed then to the first item on the agenda, which is the Local Development Implementation Plan, members. And that starts on page 141. For those of you on your systems, it's page 141 to 144. And this is regarding the Malden and Heybridge Central Area Master Plan. And you will recall we have had an update previously, and this is now, I believe, a further update to take us forward. And I have got the officer present. So, Mrs. Longman, I believe you're delivering this report for us. Can I ask you please to deliver your report? But I will move the recommendation. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, this is a six-monthly update from the last update that was given on the 7th of March committee meeting, and it's based on the project activity and taking the master plan projects and priorities forward. So the master plan delivery group has met six weekly since the last report. And the project activity is focused on five projects, bullet-pointed there under 3.2. Project activity is also reported through the TEN system on quarterly updates that members have access to. So project two, paragraph 3.5, the activity has been in preparing the action plan for the Lower High Street improvements. The action plan is now in draft form, and that's going to be further tested against corporate plan outcomes and also via a sense of place coordinator with business and stakeholder review. Project 6, the North Quay Development Brief, is being prepared with a draft for public consultation expected to come to one of the new Strategy and Resources Committee, and will also for approval for public consultation, and will then go on for a six-week public consultation, and then we'll come back to a future Strategy and Resources Committee. So that's all in accordance with the local development scheme, paragraph 26. Another project that has started is Project 8, the Causeway Corridor, the landscape strategy. A planning condition was added to the travel lodge application to deliver a strategic landscape and public realm strategy for the causeway. So that's from the Tesco roundabout up to the mini roundabout at Haybridge, the street. The scope of work has been approved through a details planning application, and the landscape and public realm strategy will be delivered before the first occupation of the hotel. The Causeway Strategic Flood Review Project 12 is ongoing. Essex County Council are preparing that document for us, and they're at the moment looking at where the sort of flooding hotspots are and where new flood resilience infrastructure could be put in place, and obviously through any redevelopment of any sites in the causeway via Section 106 agreements or through external funding opportunities. Project 15, the Destination Hub, this project is due to start, but it's being reviewed as part of commercial activity, and that project, the timeline is being adjusted just to accord with the outcome of that commercial review. So that's an update on all the current project activity.
Thank you. Any member has got any questions for Mrs. Longman? No? Well, I've just got one action. I know I have spoken to you outside of the meeting, but obviously I'm interested in the High Street, and we've got the Lower High Street project, and then we've got the Causeway, and of course we've got the rest of the High Street. And I am being approached about congestion within the High Street in terms of lorries parking, buses as well, hanging over bus bays and stopping. But I understand there is going to be a parking strategy. That's something come out of meetings. Is that correct?
Yes, Chairman, there is a parking strategy within the Central Area Master Plan, SPD. And obviously that's all linked to movement and connection framework that's within the master plan. So the project for the upper part of the High Street isn't due to start yet, but obviously with other projects that are coming forward, the Air Quality Management Area Action Plan, some of the issues that you've highlighted are being considered through that work stream as well.
Lovely. So there's the two areas. Thank you very much. So members, no further questions then. Can you please accept this update that the office has done? And I would just like to highlight the tremendous amount of work that actually this entails, and I'd like to thank Mrs. Longman and whoever else is involved for all the efforts into this, because I don't underestimate not only the master plan coming forward, but everything else that underlines and, you know, the action plans and projects. So thank you very much indeed. Right, members, we now move on to the next item on the agenda, agenda item number 7, approval to adopt the local lists of local heritage assets for the parishes of Haybridge and Southminster. And can I take that page, found on pages 145 to 182. There's the main thrust of the report, and then obviously we've got the whole document. And I think you'll recall that when this came to the committee, we, I think it was Councillor Fluker wanted the police station included. And I think the committee agreed to that at that point. And I know, Councillor Edwards, you made some points about some areas. Now, who's going to take us through this? This is very similar to something we've had. It's about local heritage assets, obviously. And there is the recommendation there. And can we do this approval, or does it go to council? Is it some sort of policy?
The last lot of lists were approved by this committee.
So we can, and it's an adopted document, so that's fine. Okay, so I think it's you, Mr. Dodson.
Yep.
Thank you. On behalf of Mr. Howson, thank you.
The parish lists of local heritage assets identify historic buildings which, although they don't meet the criteria for national listing, they are nonetheless of local architectural and historic interest. Inclusion on these lists doesn't impose any additional planning controls, but it does mean that the building's heritage significance will become a material consideration in the planning process. Planning practice guidance encourages local planning authorities to identify locally important historic buildings in this way. Individual lists are currently being drafted for each parish by the Council's Conservation Officer, Tim Howson, with assistance from local historians. Due to the considerable amount of work involved, a phased approach is being taken for the survey across the whole district. This report seeks the Planning and Licensing Committee's approval to adopt the lists of local heritage assets for the parishes of Heybridge and Southminster following a period of public consultation, and the lists are attached as Appendix 1. Copies of the documents were published on the Council's website and sent to the relevant ward members, every affected resident and the parish councils. A table summarising the consultation responses is attached as Appendix 2. A total of 9 consultation responses were received. The responses were unanimously in support of the local lists, and particularly strong support was received for the inclusion of Southminster Police Station, Southminster Railway Station and the former parish room in Southminster. Thank you.
Councillor Fluker and then Councillor Durham, please.
Thank you, Chairman. And can I also congratulate Mrs. Longman on her elevation to her new position in the Council? Well done.
Yes,
and Chairman, if I can move, if I hope you know, you're the Director of Resources. Chairman, can I through you and through through Ms. Dodson thank Tim Howson for bringing forward Southminster early. I asked him if he would, particularly for the police station, and I'm glad that so many people from Southminster I've written in to support it, because there has been a lot of interest. And can I say, Chairman, that I was lucky enough to be in the company of the Commissioner today and the Chief Constable of Essex, and the Commissioner in particular. I saw him briefly, and he thanked us enormously for listing this very important asset in Southminster. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Durham.
Just very briefly, Chairman, again, I'll echo the Leader's comment about Mr. Howson's work. In doing these projects, it's actually bringing out some really interesting history about the individual buildings and things, which I'm sure people are finding fascinating, and clearly the ones in Heybridge, particularly the Heybridge Cemetery Chapel, I think very, very, very good indeed. And I'm looking forward to learning more about other buildings in other parishes in due course. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Beale.
Thank you. It might not be of any interest to anybody, but the old parish room, which was the fire station at Southminster, somebody bought it and started knocking it down. The whole front's out of it.
Good.
Side doors are out of it. And I don't think they've applied for planning permission.
Well, I think we can take that outside the meeting. I'm sure Mr. Dodson, having heard that, will.
Part of this report, so yeah. Note what the up-to-date situation is.
Yes, and Mr. Dodson will, outside the meeting, look into that and let you know, Councillor Beale.
Thank you. And Councillor
Fluke. Oh, yes, and Councillor Fluke, yes. Any other member? For those of you that don't know, the Leader was referring to Mrs. Longman's elevation within the authority, and I'll congratulate Mrs. Longman, well, I have actually, obviously, outside of the meeting, but thematic lead for place.
Strategic scene lead place.
Yes, that's it, right. So, there we go.
Okay.
And we are allowed to say that, because I think you've kicked in now, haven't you? Has it? Yes, it has kicked in. That's right. That's it. Yes, okay. So for those that were unaware, well, I thought it was thematic lead play, but strategic theme lead. I've got to get this right. Strategic theme. The strategy theme lead for place. You know, there's the three theme leads. There's prosperity as well and community. Mrs. Longman is place. Councillor Boyce.
I'll agree the recommendation.
Thank you. All agreed, members? Thank you very much indeed. Can we now then move on to the next agenda item, which is agenda item number 8, Draft Essex Coast Recreational Disturbance Avoidance and Mitigation Strategy, RAMS, Supplementary Planning Document. And now, members, this is found on page 183 to 404. I trust you've all read every finite detail of this. And as members who have been on the council for a while, we know this kicked off ages ago. We've got, I think, 12 partner authorities in it. And what I would like to stress on this is a consultation document. We're seeking permission to go out for consultation. So obviously there will be an opportunity, I'm sure, when we have responses in. It is quite a convoluted subject, but it is about, with all the development coming in the area of Essex, looking at what we need to do regarding our recreational areas and how developers will offset that. Councillor Boyce.
Chairman, just a comment on the recommendations, little two, that the committee agreed the Director of Strategy, Performance and Governance, in consultation with the Planning and Licensing Committee Chairman, be authorised to make changes to the draft supplementary, etc., etc. It won't be that person, so should this be changed?
Yeah, I did raise that, I think, at the... If it happens before October, then that might be one thing. If it happens after October, that will be another. So I did raise that at the meeting, so yes. Didn't we, Mrs. Thompson? We did make that clear. Right, who's going to say... I think it's you, Mr... Lynn. Miss Alpin, thank you very much. You've got the... Well, I won't say it. You've got the privilege of... I have to say I've been appointed to it, and I haven't been called to a meeting yet, which is it was Council St Joseph prior to me. So no, okay, thank you.
Members of this committee might recall that they considered the RAMS strategy back in January this year. At the time, there was a draft of the SPD, but because some of the other councils had decided to seek legal opinion on it, it wasn't brought to this committee at that time. The legal opinion has now been in, and the SPD has been amended as required. The SPD itself is Appendix A. The update of the RAM strategy is Appendix B, and the changes made to the strategy since this committee considered it is Appendix C. This SPD focuses on the mitigation that is necessary to protect the wildlife of the Essex coast from the increased visitor pressure associated with new residential housing throughout Essex. And it's the in-combination effects of that housing. So it's the housing in our local plan and most of the other Essex authorities. So it's the combination effects as opposed to the individual effects from individual sites. The SPD implements the strategy through the planning process. As Councillor Channer mentioned, it's a partnership project with 12 local authorities across Essex. Once the draft has been taken through all the committee processes for all the councils, then we'll be able to take it out to public consultation, which will be a 6-week consultation. And following that, it is likely to be amended and then brought back to the individual councils for approval as SPD.
Thank you. Any members got any questions? I mean, it's a consultation document. I would like to stress that. An awful lot of work has gone into this. And of course, there's nothing to stop an individual member commenting on a consultation document, is there?
No, there's not.
So, or anybody. Councillor Mrs. Thompson.
Thank you, Chairman. It's just a very small thing. On page 206 in our pack, but page 20 of that document, the draft SPD is published for consultation between X and X.
That's
I'm sure there's a reason for it, I just wondered.
Yes, because we haven't got the consultation dates yet.
Yeah. So that's why we're saying if it's before October or after October, as came up at the meeting. So how long, when will that be determined? I mean, I would think it would go past October, actually, but...
Yes, I think there's some councils that are likely to consider it in October.
Right, OK.
But I don't know when the last council will be looking at it.
OK, and then it will go out. Everyone will put it out at the same time for the same period of time.
Yes.
Yeah. OK, so, members, there's two recommendations there with, of course, actually the amendment that will be required if this follows on in October, in terms of changing that from Planning and Licensing Committee Chairman. But can we agree little one and little two, members? Are we happy with that? Thank you very much indeed. Agenda item number 9, planned on pages 405 to 408. This is the Chelmsford Draft Local Plan Main Modification Consultation. Members of the committee will remember, I think it was before the election actually, we have commented at the appropriate stage, I think, for the pre-submission documentation and the draft. And what's coming back now is the main modifications. I'm going to let Ms Alpin take us through it, but from what we can see, there's little that affects the district. The main issue appears to be now the inspector seeking. There was a bridge mentioned, but now I think we're talking about crossing in the Chelmsford City area on that route that goes out, the B101 or B102 or something. Yeah. So it's the one really that leads from the big roundabout at South Woodham, as I call it, which goes down to the BP garage. And they're talking about possibly could be underpasses or crossings. They needed that flexibility, or the inspector did. But I don't want to steal your thunder. Miss Alpin, please.
Well, thank you, but I think you probably have stolen my thunder.
Oh, sorry.
As an adjoining authority, this council has been consulted by Chelmsford City Council at all stages in the preparation of their local plan. At the preferred option stage, this council did raise a number of concerns with the plan at the time. Every single one of our concerns were addressed at the pre-submission stage. So at the pre-submission stage, this council did not object to the Chelmsford local plan. They've since had the examination in public, and these are now the main modifications that the inspector wants made to the plan in order to make the plan sound. The changes don't raise any concerns for this council, and it has not affected any of the issues that have been addressed previously. There's only one thing of note, which is regarding the South Woodham growth area. Originally, it had referred to a bridge over the road. Now it's referring to a bridge or an underpass to give some flexibility for the future. Unless this committee has any points they'd like made, officers are proposing that we make a no objection response to Chelmsford City Council.
So, members, this is now your time. If we want to adjust any amendments to that, Councillor Durham, please.
Well, Chairman, not that I'm vindictive at all, but I do recall Chelmsford objecting to our plan, giving us a wagon load of grief, thousands of hours of officer time, and taking it right the way to their to our examination in public. And I think we've let them off pretty lightly. And if it were me, I would find something in it, but there you go.
Well, we did find something in it when they came to us for, initially, as Ms Alpin said. Mm. We did actually have dialogue, and actually what we're going to be involved in is some work, as I understand it, ongoing, where we were looking at various issues, and they did do certain things. We raised concerns as an authority, and they did address those concerns before it went into examination. So we did, actually, and I know what you're talking about, because it's the very same point I raised as well. Councillor Fluker, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I was going to go on that theme, actually, and it's a shame, really, because what goes around normally does go around. But and I remember it quite clearly, particularly with Eve's Corner and all the grief that they called us there. But, Chairman, the point I was going to make, really, on this is that, you know, we've made our response, we're seeking our views, and I think it's very interesting, Chairman, there's been a change of administration at Chelmsford City Council, and the newly elected administration were voted in on the back of getting rid of this plan, yet they approved it last week, and I'll tell you what, Chairman, that's what local politics is really all about. But, Chairman, I think you've sought the views of this committee, and I propose that we agree the recommendation.
Agreed. Members, we can submit this, what you see as the formal response. Thank you very much indeed. We're now moving on, members, then. to agenda item number 10, section 106 agreements, interim update, pages, members, for your machines, pages 409 to 412. This is an update, interim update. It's also seeking, I think, to talk about timelines going to committees as well. Can I ask who's dealing with this? Mr. Dodson, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This council has recently appointed two interim local plan specialists to oversee a review into the working of the, as part of their work, to oversee a review of the workings of the current Section 106 and Community Infrastructure Levy, and they'll be doing this work over the next 3 months. So this is an interim report. We've brought reports previously that have gone into some detail regarding the overall Section 106 projects that are in place, the funding coming in, the update on the work being undertaken, and the timelines in terms of clawback when things have to be completed by. We will be bringing forward such a report in the near future to committee. This is an interim report to highlight that review has started. The initial assessment has reflected that there are adequate measures in place to allow the continuity of the ongoing work, monitoring and delivery of Section 106 obligations. Should be noted that a couple of issues were raised around the reporting timescales to make sure that they fit in with the new legislation in terms of informing the reports that go back to government on this that were highlighted within the report. It makes reference to SIL 2, but we have also brought forward another report that covers the community infrastructure levy in more detail. Thank you.
Any member, please? Councillor Fluker.
Chairman, just a question really, because I can remember when this became before council before, and we were waiting for more information from the government to allow us to proceed with SIL. I mean, bearing in mind today the Prime Minister's brother resigned to spend less time with his family, and the government appears to be in a bit of a muddle and doesn't seem to enjoy the same mandate as us. I mean, can we confirm that the government have fully completed their work regarding SIL? Because I understand that they hadn't.
My understanding is SIL came in on the 1st of September, the regulation change. That's my understanding. Yeah, because I picked that
Chairman
up recently.
Chairman, for the update. Apologies if it's in
no,
the report.
That's okay. Right, members, any other questions on this? Hopefully it's quite straightforward. And there's two recommendations there. We're asked to note the progress in reviewing Section 106 and note all future monitoring works will refer only to previous periods, and also about the progress regarding commencements of works in-house to assess the potential for implementing a revised SIL charging schedule be noted. Members, any... Oh, Councillor, sorry, I beg your pardon.
Councillor Mrs. Stamp.
Yeah, Tim, come in there, put my glasses on there. I had a senior moment.
Thank you, Chairman. Can I ask when the review will be made of the infrastructure delivery plan? I think the original was done in 2012, wasn't it? So when are you actually... Has there been one since? I couldn't find it on the website if there was, because you'll find that a lot of the information is well out of date, which I think was raised before about it being out of date. Things like doctors, education, etc. When will this council be producing another one, please, Chairman?
I'm assuming that's all part and parcel of this work, along with the viability studies, I guess.
Not entirely, but I can't tell you the exact date when we've got in for reviewing the infrastructure plan. It's normally reviewed alongside the LDP, but I'll look into the exact date, which should be within our local development strategy, and I'll confirm that for members.
Yes, if you could circulate that to the committee, that would be grateful. Right, Councillor Fleming. Oh, was that a supplementary, Councillor
yes.
Mrs Stamp?
Yeah. Please, don't mind. It's just reading back on the history of it. This council was supposed to run alongside the original LDP hearings with Mr Vickery, and I've actually got the whole letters from the previous chief executive writing. I understand there was problems, but and I also understand I think there's financial problems now, according to the information I've read off the website. Surely it is important. One of the reasons stated was that the Section 106 and the SIL was going to work alongside each other, because this council had different projects they wanted to complete where they could use the SIL money, where they couldn't use the Section 106. So as far as I can, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will, but that's going to surely hold what projects that this council had or planned to do a few years ago. So I am an advocate of SIL and Section 106. It's important that this district develops and keeps moving forward, and it seems to me it's that just gone stagnant a little bit, Chairman.
I think the SIL, we did actually do at one stage with the SIL process, there was you had to have two consultations, I understood it. We actually did consultation number one, and then the government started looking at SIL and going to alter the regulations. So that was in the days of Mr Butt, I believe, and the advice was that we shouldn't progress any further until we were clear on what the SIL regulations brought forward. And if you read the report, there's about six bullet points which we've now got to pay attention to, and those regulations are now have come in from the 1st of September. And there seems to be a good article I'm going to draw to officers, I'm sure you've seen it, PASS, Planning Advisory Service, have released something on SIL which I picked up recently. But would someone like to come back on that point that Councillor Mrs Stamps made before I move on to Councillor Fleming?
I think we cover within the SIL report that we are bringing forward SIL. It is intended that Section 106 and SIL sit alongside each other, hence we're bringing it forward now as soon as the guidance is clear, which is what we were waiting for.
But there are distinct differences between 106 and SIL, but it's important they work in, I suppose, unison to a degree. Right, Councillor Fleming, please.
Yes, I just wanted to echo Councillor Stamp's concerns. I'd feel happier if a sense of urgency was injected into the process. Thank you.
Sorry?
That is why we're bringing forward the SIL report now, which is the next report.
Right, so members, any more questions, or can we give you the recommendations regarding the 106 report, please? Can we please, members, agree the recommendations for the 106? Right, we will now move on to agenda item number 11. Yes, please do go if you need to, because, I should have said that earlier. Thank you for your time. Now we're moving on to agenda item number 11, Community Infrastructure Levy Update, pages 413, 418. And if you recall, we did have a bit of a debate about SIL at the last meeting, and we did as a committee request that this came forward, and we also did highlight, Councillor Beale did, perhaps it would be useful for members to have some briefing on SIL, a seminar or something. And I note within the report we're talking about stakeholders or whoever it was, developers having a session, but I would certainly welcome that, as I'm sure other members would, regarding this subject matter, which we did highlight, and I think we said we would carry forward. So, Mr. Dodson, it's your report. We have touched on it a bit, but if you'd like... is it Ms. Alpin or yourself?
No, it's me.
It's you. Right, OK. Yes, please.
OK, thank you, Chairman. The SIL regulations came into effect nationally in April 2010, and they allow local authorities in England and Wales to raise funds from developers undertaking new building projects in their area. Councils must spend the SIL income on infrastructure that is needed to support new development. It's unlikely that SIL on its own will fully fund the entire necessary infrastructure to support new development, even alongside Section 106, and it's likely that other funding is also likely to need to be secure to deliver all of the infrastructure requirements within the district. SIL funds are not ring-fenced for specific schemes in the same way that Section 106 monies are, so the council has more flexibility in deciding how to prioritise spending on infrastructure to support new development. Section 106 will still be used for site-specific mitigation and affordable housing contributions and would operate alongside a SIL charging schedule. Charging authorities need to strike an appropriate balance between the need to capture funds for infrastructure and the potential effects of SIL rates upon the economic viability and delivery of development taken as a whole across the area, and that's what's tested at the independent examination. The economic evidence and the potential to capture potential land value forms the basis of setting SIL charges, and viability is tested at a district-wide level in setting SIL rates compared to site-by-site negotiation as it is under Section 106. It's expected that SIL capture more of the land value uplift that results from development within the district than Section 106 contributions are able to capture. SIL funds are also collected from a greater number of individual development schemes, and once adopted, the SIL charge is a non-negotiable charge on all qualifying development. If a SIL is adopted in accordance with the Community Infrastructure Levy Amendment Regulations 2013, a specific proportion of SIL receipts would be passed to town and parish councils in relation to development within their areas. The implementation of a SIL supports the delivery of the local development plan. With the change in circumstances since 2014, an updated SIL viability evidence will demonstrate whether there's scope to implement a SIL within the district, and the potential rates would enable the council to maximise the collection of funding from development to contribute towards infrastructure costs balanced against other viability considerations.
Thank you. Any members? There are four recommendations. I note little two again. It mentions Chairman of Planning and Licensing, so the same applies to that change required. But members, have you got any questions? But as you can see, we're seeking to move forward with this as per the report. There will need to be an examination process, although we don't have to do another consultation, as I understand it. So how would you like to take this? If there are questions first, and then do you want me to move in bulk one to four, or do you want me to go through individually? I think I could move the whole lot if there's no questions. Are we happy? Oh, yes, right. Councillor Mrs. Stamp and then Councillor Beale.
Thank you. Will there be a liaison or a working group when the SIL is going through the stages? You know, like I think you district councillors, and they're usually politically balanced or unbalanced, whichever your view is. Because if you are having some sort of working group that is SIL, can I be on it, please, as an independent councillor?
Mr. Dodson? Excuse me, can we please not have another item of a business of this council brought into this committee? Thank you. Right, can we now proceed with the question regarding SIL?
Yeah, the first thing we'll be doing is undertaking the review of the work to see the level of work that needs changing to that schedule, and if it needs to be reconsulted upon. Depending on that level of work and what those findings are, then we may well look to set up a working group, and we'll bring that back to the appropriate committee at that time.
Thank you. Councillor Beale.
Any potential recipients of the money from the SIL, etc., have we got basically lists of things that we have looked at over the years that should be brought forward as a possible recipient?
Yeah, we'll be looking at all of that work as well, but this isn't specific as Section 106 is in terms of individuals, and it doesn't have to specify all of that work. It can be used as a pot, that there's flexibility of how it's used. But yeah, we'll obviously be building plans around what we prioritise to do with it.
And could I ask another question? The 5%, this is anything up to 5% of the monies can be used for financing parts of this operation. Do we know how much we've actually put to that at the moment on any projects?
I don't know that answer, Mr. Dodson.
We've not done projects yet because we're looking to set the SIL up. It's the administration of it, 5% of it can be used for administration of it once it's set up.
And parishes, of course, can also have some SIL funding as well. So that's a percentage-based thing as well, as my understanding, or can be. Any other questions for Mr. Dodson? Right, in that case, members, I think it's safe then to move recommendations 1 to little 4 with highlighting again that specific. We'll need to consider the change on that, Ms. Bird, which I think, again, was highlighted at the agenda meeting. Can we agree that, please, members? Thank you very much indeed. Next item on the agenda is any other items of business that the chairman of the committee decides are urgent. There are not urgent ones, but I would just like to say something. This is the very last meeting of the Planning and Licensing Committee. Councillor Boyce and myself have been through various variations of it, I think, planning and highways, planning environment, and planning and licensing. And I would just like to say that this committee, throughout the time I've been on it, especially with the local plan work and other policy work surrounding planning and other matters, has had a tremendous workload. And through various panels being set up, Councillor Mayes, did you want to say something?
No.
I thought you were sort of gesticulating then or making a comment about something. I'd just like to say a lot of work was carried out through all the years it has been, and I know 10 years ago I kicked off, as did Councillor Boyce and others, regarding the local plan. And actually what I'd like to say is a very big thank you to all the members I have served with on this committee, past and present, and all officers. And I think what goes to show, it was a matter of teamwork that actually resulted between officers and members in us having success, not just with the LDP, but other documents, SBDs and other things. And I can tell you the result of that, we are an authority that other Essex authorities actually look up to. And I think there's a certain amount of green envy there, because we have an adopted local plan and other policies where they don't. So I'd like to say a very big thank you to all the support, guidance and help from all the officers involved, past and present, because some have moved on. But I really would like that to go to all your colleagues, that this committee, which has worked with various members, has done its best, but it's been through the team effort of members and officers together that I think this committee had the success it has throughout the years, and all those past chairmen as well, I must honour in their work. I'm sorry if it's funny, Councillor Durham and Councillor Luke, but I felt I needed to say that.
Chairman, excuse me, Chairman, before you close the meeting, I would like to pay tribute to you as the Chairman of the Planning and Licensing Committee, which I believe that you've chaired this meeting for 8 years. And it was during those 8 years that this local authority developed its local development plan, took it to what I considered was a wayward inspector, and we went through all of that process, and the whole of that process, Chairman, was driven by somebody you didn't mention, and that was you. You kept going through that whole process with Mr. Coleman, with all the members of staff that are involved, after Mr. Coleman, and I think if it hadn't been for your energy, we may not have had that local plan. And you are to be congratulated for that. And it is because of that that we are the envy of lots of other local authorities in Essex. So well done to you, and thank you for chairing the meetings for the last 8 years.
Well, that's very kind of you, Chairman, but I can't take all that accolade myself because I've had... No, I can't, because I've had very supportive vice-chairmen who have always accompanied me to meetings, been able to stand in. So I can't take it away from all the other members, because, as I've said, this was about a team effort, members and officers together having the success we have. So thank you very much. And on that note, and I mustn't forget the committee clerks, of course, who are absolutely imperative and keeping me in order. Miss Bird, would you please give my thanks to everyone, because believe you me, we have a few discussions, don't we? So I mustn't, and I do include that actually with the officers' guidance and advice, because I think second to none, Miss Bird will always keep me on the straight and narrow. Yeah. Councillor Durham.
I'm not going to add anything, but the one thing that both Councillor Fluker and yourself admitted to say is, you know, over the recent years, you've not only had the LDP and things to deal with, but we did have rather a large turnover of directors in this directorate, which certainly made your life a lot more difficult, and let's keep our fingers crossed that we have stability at long last.
Well, I've got Mr. Dodson on a short lead, but as I won't be the chairman anymore, that's for someone else to deal with it on a new committee, but I'm sure we'll all keep a watchful eye on him. And on that note, at 8:15 on the nose, I close the meeting. Thank you very much.